very happy to see some of our newest, youngest mothers with their children here with us today in church. And all of our visitors, we have, including our visitors, we have a young lady who is doing a tour through UTMB for 1 month. She is in medical school in Illinois, and I met her. We're glad to have her here for the month. If you receive my email, you noticed that I will be reading from a version of the Bible that I have not read from in a public sermon in more than 60 years. It is the King James Version, which I grew up with and which my father used all the time, but which I used different versions from the time I left home until the present time. But the King James has a cadence to it, and it has wording to it that's familiar to all of us, especially in the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to read from Proverbs 31, the description of who is called the virtuous woman or the virtuous wife, especially because in the end of that reading, verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed," which is the goal, of course, and which we do on Mother's Day. I'm sure all of us, I hope all of us, remember our mothers if they have passed away, or think of our mothers if they are presently living, as embodying the qualities that are in this text. I know Jim Harden and I exchanged emails, and he mentioned that in this last year, since June passed away, he's often read this verse because in his mind, June reflected the virtues of this reading. Indeed, she did. I read now from Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with verse 11, from the New King James Version. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain, and does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." I was very fortunate to be the preacher's son, and I remember several of the sermons my father would preach. Not that I could tell you exactly what he said, but impact they had on me as a growing boy. The last time that he recited the words that I have just read to you was on my mother's 70th birthday. I guess we did not realize she'd live 22 more years, but when she was turning 70, as we did with our father, we kind of marked 70 as the day to do this. We had for each of them a celebration of their life. My mother was just mama to me, and I assumed everybody had a mother like my mother. It wasn't until much later that I discovered that my mother had unusual qualities. She finished college in the Depression, and I thought every boy's mother had a college degree. And she worked not only as the mother and wife in the home, but also as a teacher in school. Very busy woman. Well, on her 70th birthday, we celebrated all the great events of her life. And we had pictures, and we had family members who gathered for the dinner. And at the end of it, my father stood up and recited these verses to my mother. And that was the last time that I remember him reading or reciting these verses. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And that is exactly what we did. Of the many qualities, and there are so many in this description of the virtuous wife, I suppose we could say it's not for every wife necessarily, although it ought to be. But remember, in this text, in Proverbs 31, it is the advice that a mother is giving to the king, her son. And so she says in the first part of the chapter, here are the qualities that you are personally to have as the king. And then in the latter part, beginning with verse 11, here are the qualities you are to look for in the woman who will be the queen. There are many qualities, but I will have to say that the one that has always been most impressive to me, even as a boy and even now, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. I have read a number of translations this week of Proverbs chapter 31. Maybe one reason why I have never spoken on this text before is because the NIV gives an entirely different kind of nuance to verse 29 or verse 26. And there are some translations that emphasize the quality of her instruction and not the idea of kindness. I'll read two of those translations to give you the flavor. The NIV says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. The Contemporary English Version reads, her words are sensible and her advice is thoughtful. But I have always been attracted to the quality of kindness. And there are some translations who have preserved that idea, which I have read out of the King James Version, on her tongue is the law of kindness. The easy-to-read version says she speaks with wisdom and teaches others to be loving and kind. There's a little difference there. She's teaching kindness rather than speaking kindness. Maybe the Message translation sums it best. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. The most impressive characteristic to me in all of these is kindness. We tend to think that kindness is a feminine quality. I suppose that's a cultural kind of thing. I'm sure my father was a kind man, as I think of and try to think of different situations, I remember his acts of kindness. But kindness has been kind of reserved in our culture as a mark of the mother or of a woman. But Christianity teaches kindness is not simply a feminine trait. Every Christian is to be kind. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 reads, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Be kind and compassionate to one another. That is not advice only to the women in the church, that's the advice to the whole church. This sentence ends a paragraph in the scripture encouraging Christians to benefit others, not themselves. And it reads, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." That's a great statement. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and every form of malice. And then the reading, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." We are to be kind, not because of who the people are to whom we will be kind, but because we are kind. And sometimes I want to emphasize that a part of kindness consists in loving people more than they deserve. If you love people only to the extent that they deserve loving, what have you offered them? You've given them only what they have the right to. But kindness involves loving and doing for people, and maybe doing for them more than they deserve. And that's what makes it kindness. We may be discouraged, and it's certainly likely to happen at one time in our lives. We may be discouraged in kindness because the people to whom we have been most kind are sometimes the most ungrateful. And we are tempted to say within our minds, "Why should I be kind anymore? Look what it gets you, you know." And others may encourage us not to be kind anymore and remind us that some of the people that we are the kindest to continue to disappoint us. The moralist Aesop reminds us, though, that no act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. No act of kindness, however small, is ever wasted. And we must remember that one act of kindness might change another person's life entirely. Too often we underestimate the power of a touch or a smile or a kind word or a listening ear. An honest compliment or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to really change another person's life. Our culture does not teach morals, ethics, and empathy and kindness in the schools as it once did. I cannot imagine a modern school tolerating Aesop's book of morals in the classroom. And so these must be taught at home. and they are taught most often by the mother. How do you become a kind person? Some people by nature, because of they grew up in a home in which kindness was always present, find it very easy perhaps to be kind. But others grew up in an environment in which kindness was not often expressed. Let me make a couple of suggestions this morning. Kindness begins with the understanding that we all struggle. Because part of kindness requires empathy. If you really cannot feel what another person is going through, it's very hard for you to be kind. Oh, if you're told to do something, you can do what you're told to do. But preceding that deed, unless you're able to empathize and feel with that person, it's very difficult to be kind. So kindness really begins with an understanding that we are all strugglers in this matter of life. It's not that much easy for any of us. We ought to be kind in our response to ourselves and to others when those mistakes occur. You have to be kind to yourself. If you're not kind to yourself when you've messed up, you're headed for a lot of problems. You have to learn to forgive yourself and to recognize that you are a better person than what that incident represented. But you must also be empathetic and forgive those others. And so it begins with an understanding that we're all in this matter of struggling to do what is right. Remembering those who have been special to us in our lives is helpful in encouraging kindness that we might express to others. I guess it was the experience of being the young preacher, but I often think of the earliest days when Mikey and I went out of college and served the church in New Mexico. And the kindnesses that were shown to us as a young couple with a newborn child is just amazing. And I've never forgotten those people and how they treated us. And I think of those people sometimes, most of whom have passed away. And certain times of the year, maybe when I remember their death, I'll give a donation to some church-related children's home or something in their memory, an act of kindness because they were kind. And I remembered the way that they were kind to me. I love the story of David after he has become king. King Saul has been vanquished. David spends 7 years as king of only part of Israel. And finally, after 7 years, he is crowned the king of all of Israel. It's at that time, at the pinnacle of his success, when he had all the power concentrated in himself to do whatever he wanted to do, I am impressed that David said, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Amen. That is an amazing thing. I mean, if anybody dealt treacherously with David in his lifetime, it was King Saul. King Saul tried to kill him, hunted him in the wilderness for years. And the only reason for that King Saul did not kill David was because of God's providence over David. And here, when he has final victory, David says, "I want to do a kindness because Saul's son, Jonathan, was like a brother to me." And Jonathan was the son of Saul, but Jonathan was not the one who tried to do those things to me. It was his father. And so here is the way it is expressed. Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Remembering how Jonathan saved his life and was such a good friend as they were boys together. And the story says, now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba, and they summoned him to appear before David, and the king said, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And Ziba answered the king, well, there is still the son of Jonathan. Now he's lame in both feet. You see, in one of the times of crisis, the nurse who was taking care of the baby dropped the baby. And this baby became crippled in both legs. This is the boy. And the King David said, well, where is this son of Jonathan? And Ziba tells King David where Jonathan could be found. And they brought him to the king. His name was Mephibosheth. Oh, I wish they would have named their kids better. Mephibosheth, that's his name. I practiced all week. Mephibosheth. And when Mephibosheth came before David, David said to him, do not fear. Well, I'm sure that Mephibosheth thought, you know, I'm the last blood of Saul, and boy, if anybody did David wrong, my grandfather Saul did. I don't like being summoned to the king. And David said, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. And so he ate at David's table like one of the king's sons, and he was lame in both feet. That just impresses me. I will do for you, whom I've never met, I will do for you something that is incredibly kind because of your father, Jonathan, and what he meant to me. And so whenever I write a check to a children's home or to a home for the aged, I remember someone and I put on there, I'm donating this in memory of, because it's a memory of the kindness and goodness of that person to me that makes me want to be kind to others. This is a statement that influenced me very early in life. I came across it in high school, and I remember reciting it in some of my speeches that I was called upon to make. I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer it or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. And that's a powerful idea. It shows immediacy in our acts of kindness. Kindness gives us a sense of purpose as we get older. Another writing that shaped my life when I was but a teenager was the story which Will Allen Drumgoole told in the poem, The Bridge Builder. Now, one of the amazing things I learned this week is that Will Allen Drumgoole was a female, not a male. Might tell you something about naming your children feminine names if they are a boy or masculine names if they are a girl, because many of the articles about Will Allen Drumgoole referred to her as he. thinking the word will meant a he. She was a great author and poet. She was born in Tennessee and spent 1 year in Texas. And she wrote the poem that I love so much, The Bridge Builder. The story within the poem is about an old man who crosses a swift moving river that was at high tide, very difficult. She says the chasm was deep and wide and the tide was swollen. But he succeeds to cross the other side. And when he is on the other side, he decides to build a bridge. And while he is building it, a fellow traveler comes along and asks him why he was building a bridge which he had already crossed, and he would never have to cross it again. And the old man replied that he was doing it for others to get access across the river. I read a little bit from the lines from The Old Man and the Bridge. An old man going along highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a swollen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The rapids held no fears for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your time in building here. Your journey will end with the closing day. You never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? And the builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there follows after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This stream, which has been as naught to me, to that fair youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. And so kindness should characterize us all of our lives. Make kindness a part of who you are. Let kindness control what we say. Let kindness control what we do. We're going to sing.
Heavenly Father, we humbly approach your throne of grace and we say, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the people you've brought into our lives and allowed them to nurture us, the mother stand-ins, the aunts, the grandmothers who stood in, the fathers, those who stood in to guide us, to teach us, to give us the things we need, Heavenly Father, to follow your will and your roles and the things that you teach us in your holy writ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we live up to the standards that those who came before us set for us. Sometimes we go astray and get something my grandmother used to tell me, don't get too big for your britches. Sometimes we get that way, we get headstrong and think we know it all, have the answers. But wisdom is found in those who have experience. Wisdom is found in those God has appointed as guiding lights for us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be open to the message from those who come to guide us and those who come to do those things for us to teach us to be better people, better adherence to your word, better neighbors, and better family members. We ask this, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we want to present a token of our esteem for you, and hopefully you take this to know that we as a body believe in you, and this is for all women in the congregation. If there are any left over men, we'll give them to you. It's merely a token of our appreciation for you and what you do for so many others. Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to meet today and that We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we leave this place, you guide us, protect us, and give us your guidance, your protection throughout the times that we have until our next appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.